Hey everybody, welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mapeluso. How you doing? How you living? How you loving? I'm so pumped for this week. We have so many things coming out that I mentioned months and months ago to you guys that I had to keep under wraps until things were starting to move and evolve, and they are. First and foremost, this weekend I'm going to be in New York City kicking off my Girl Pod Tour with Carly Aquilino. That's going to be at City Winery, October 9th. Two shows. First show is sold out. Second show is just about sold out. It probably will be by the time this is up. But go and check out anyways. It's our podcast show will be the second show at 9:30. That's the one we only have seats available for. But don't fret. This tour will be going all across America in spring 2022. We're just doing a few shows this year to say hi to you guys and get out on the road a little bit. We will also be in Texas together November 18th, 19th, and 20th in Austin, Texas at the Creek in the Cave. That will also have podcast shows as well. So just check out. And when you check out, just make sure you are at the correct show. So just check out if it's a stand-up show or a podcast show, just so you are prepared, because not everybody wants to see a live podcast. And I don't know who those people are. They're weird, because it's going to be so much fun. So come to Texas, Austin, Texas, Creek in the Cave, November 18th, 19th, and 20th. My Wide Open tour has continued. I will be out solo on the road a little bit for the rest of the year. I'm trying to convince Carly to hop on a couple shows, and I'll have Leo Flowers there as well. That's the Wide Open Tour. Both of those you can find tickets at jessiemay.com. So make sure you differentiate between the Girl Tour and the Wide Open Tour. And, more information. My Spotify podcast is going to be coming out. We reshot it in quarantine and we reimagined it for this new world where there's a lot of different ways to get you guys content, and it's going to be a live show weekly. That's what the latest is. I just spoke to Spotify yesterday, and we're going to do a weekly live high induced dating show. It's going to be so much fucking fun. I can't wait. It's years in the making. That's what this industry is known for. You hurry up and wait. All of my projects have taken well over 2 years to get going. So that podcast will be out and available on Spotify after we record it live. So you'll have two ways to enjoy that. And I'll get you more information as that evolves as well. So I'm basically going to have five podcasts, because this week is the launch of my newest podcast. They're just fun, and I don't need to validate it. You know, I'm not going to validate it. You guys know why we do it. This week is the launch of my fourth and final podcast. Not final, but final one that I'm going to create, because I don't think there's any more days in the week for me to release anything. This week is a swapcast to promote my newest podcast with someone who you guys have requested just as much as Carly for me to do a podcast with, Mr. Mike Tully. Him and I have partnered up. We created a podcast together, and we recorded a swapcast to promote said podcast. And I hope you guys enjoy it. It will be on Patreon as well. It's called The Deuce. So without further ado, I would like to introduce this week's guest, Father, Podcaster Mark McGrath's Bottom. Please enjoy this episode with my new co-host of The Deuce, Mr. Mike Tully. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh.
Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy,
how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Coming to you live on tape from beautiful scenic Culver City adjacent California, from my above ground basement boasting a near constant cacophony of nearby construction noises that have, at least for the moment, ceased, fingers crossed. This is The Tully Show. I am your host, Mike Tully, joining me today following travels to lands of ice and snow. Welcome back, the People's Champion, Jessie Mae Peluso. Hello.
We're here. We did it.
When is the last time I spoke to you?
Like 5 minutes before I got here.
When is the last time I spoke to you with microphones in front of our faces?
Months. Has it been months?
I'm getting a noise.
What? Uh-oh.
I wonder if it's just because these things are right next to each other.
He's getting a noise. It's never good when you're recording a podcast and your co-host goes just blank, staring into the void and goes, I'm getting a noise.
And I just heard hammering. But they're both gone now. I say we're just fine.
Let's be real. These mics don't pick up that shit. Cut to everybody screaming at us.
Yeah.
Because
score one for cheap mics.
No, it's been a hot minute. I don't know when the last time I saw you in the flesh was. We've traveled between the two of us very far.
Well, where have you been other than Alaska?
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver, New York.
It's like hipster
City.
Hipster Alaska.
Vancouver's hipster Alaska. Vancouver's like Vancouver wants to be a European country.
Canada is kind of a European country. I think maybe sort of, but I think what you're the thing
tell
is
tell me what I'm trying to say.
Let me mansplain Canada to you.
Please explain. Mansplain my feelings to me.
You got to calm down, and then I'll tell you, okay?
You're acting crazy.
Canada is a foreign country, and I think it's so...
What?
It is so similar to ours. When you go to Mexico, it's fairly obvious that you have left at least 47 of the U.S. states.
It's very obvious.
Right. When you go to Canada, you're like, it's close enough that you feel like you're still at home, and then you go, wait a second, I don't know how many meters of beer I want to drink.
Oh, then you realize we're really... We're in the minority.
Yeah, right. It's supposed to be different because it's its whole own country, and because they remain, I think, under the powerful thumb of a 90-year-old monarch in England.
Really?
They still have.
Don't we all? I think we all do. I had a crazy cab tell me that.
They still that we remain subject to the Queen of England.
Yes, a crazy cab driver.
That's
why.
That's the last strike. Now you just take Ubers.
No. But listen, he made a really good point. He wasn't just saying the Queen of England. He was saying that there are six or seven people, very rich and powerful people, who run everything. And that it's based in England, and one of them is Soros.
Who's not based in England.
No, I said based in, not England, Europe.
So there's six people who run the world.
Yes, and...
How many of these people, I hate to ask, are Jewish?
Now we're going to get canceled. Now we're going to get canceled. I'm
this
sure...
This isn't behind the Patreon wall. Which, by the way, can we let people know about that? This is Tully Show Sharp Tongue Swap Cast that will serve as the long-anticipated, long-awaited, long-overdue announcement of our brand-new weekly show, The Deuce.
The Deuce.
It's called The Deuce, and it's going to happen, as weekly implies, just about every single week.
Every single week, we're committed to it, and...
And people can commit to it themselves.
Yeah, you guys commit to it, listen to it at your leisure. There will be extra stuff. Mm-hmm. There'll be, you know, different things that we toss into the Patreon. At the very least, you're going to get a video and an audio of the pod every week.
Right. So, for people who would care for a weekly helping of
helping,
this...
Helping? A helping?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
A healthy helping.
Is Nancy Grace here?
A healthy ladleful of this.
God. I just thought of...
Slopped onto your...
Semen for some reason.
Podcast plate. Go to patreon.com/... I promised myself I would know
this. The Deuce Podcast.
The Deuce Podcast. Wait, yes. Is it not The Deuce Pod?
It's not The Deuce Pod. I don't think so. Is it?
I texted it to you today.
It's The Deuce Podcast. Guys, we are professional.
Yeah.
We have everything set in stone. We are... I swear you said it's The Deuce Podcast.
I texted it to you earlier
well, by
today.
This point,
yeah, it is the patreon.com/thedeucepodcast.
Yes.
You can go there right now, and there's a fairly good chance there's already episode one waiting for
you. Fairly good chance.
It would be
thousands of people
to listen to it. Yeah, beat the crowds. Get
we have
over there
tens
right now.
Of people. One of my favorite podcasts to listen to that got me through this past year is Smartless.
Oh, yeah.
With Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and
Will Arnett. Will Arnett's
voice I want to date.
He's a huge celebrity. He's pretty in love with his own voice.
I love his voice.
Yeah, he's a big celebrity in our house.
Voice.
Let me finish that statement.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, he's a big celebrity, but in your house, that's exciting.
He's Lego Batman, and he hosts Lego Masters.
He's so... His voice is just the greatest voice, but they say listener. They go, hey, listener. They have for the one listener that they have. I love that podcast. So we're going to call you guys Patreon. Hey, Patreon.
It's funny because I have an amazing ability to reverse call things.
What do you mean?
Like when 90s music started getting really stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, this is pretty dumb, but all right, if you say so. And then like the Offspring came out with Keep Them Separated. And I was like, okay, everybody... Surely this is the end. Now can we all calm down?
So bad.
Having no idea that The Offspring were going to become one of the biggest bands to come out of the 90s. Weezer, similarly, who I actually ended up liking their first album, but the Sweater song. I was like, okay, guys, have we done this joke? Surely this is as low as we can go. When I say this is a terrible idea, it is almost guaranteed to be fucking a blockbuster, huge, great idea.
So do you feel that way about our podcast?
I feel like it's going to be huge, which frightens me. But I'm like the reverse Nostradamus of entertainment success, because when Will Arnett and Jason Bateman and what's-his-face from Will and Grace started...
How homophobic of you to not remember the one gay guy on the cast.
Were there gay people on that show? I didn't notice. I just enjoyed the comedy.
Cut to you asking your wife if you can introduce men into the relationship.
So when that came out, I was like, oh God, now it's official. Now every single celebrity has a show. I tried to not be that guy, but now I'm going to say it. Everybody thinks that they could just get in front of a microphone and be interesting. And they are one of the biggest shows. As I say, reverse Nostradamus strikes again.
It is true, though. It's like, oh, you think you could do a podcast? Not everybody can. There are a lot of terrible podcasts.
But I also feel like there's a lot of really good ones.
Yeah, of course there are. But I'm saying their Smartless one, I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like literally a COVID baby. They just created it out of COVID.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They created it out of COVID because nothing was going on. They weren't able to work. And
right,
so
sure.
They all know each other. And it the guests they have. So I don't know if I'm doing this right. We should be promoting our podcast. And hey, I'm like, hey, everybody.
I think we have a responsibility to let people know they have options.
Cool,
you can go to patreon.com/thedeucepodcast. It's weekly. It's very entertaining. There's a lot of this, a healthful slathering of this every single week.
See,
but you know, hey, but Smartless is free. So
Smartless is free.
And better. So
and you probably know. Why you should probably go listen to Smartless. But hey, at least our egos are in check that we're promoting somebody else's free podcast and asking you to pay to listen to ours.
I'm sure they would do the same for us. I have no doubt about that.
I've lost it. And we're only 10 minutes in. My face hurts and I've snorted.
It's so funny to me, interesting to me, how people who started doing podcasts, maybe like, obviously they hoped it might be successful. If not, I think a lot of them just go, hey, I get to hang out with my friends. It's something to do. It's such an odd thing to become your career.
It is a very odd
thing. Like if you're Dax Shepard and you get offered a movie role, the odds are you're saying no unless it really, really, really makes sense because your podcast has so far exceeded what I think. I don't know. Maybe he went in going, it's going to be Joe Rogan and then me, but I doubt it. I think he went in thinking maybe it'll flop. Hopefully it'll be like successful, a revenue stream, something I can do that I can be proud of, that I can make some money from. But now that is his job. Like
it's
Joe Rogan
so
does stand-up comedy because he likes doing stand-up comedy. Yeah, there's no reason why he needs to do it, you know?
Yeah, no,
Arrested
he doesn't.
Development maybe can finally fucking die now because it hasn't actually been very good for...
Is it still going? Arrested Development still in production?
Well, now I think it's probably got to be done because everybody turned on the dad and the mom died.
Oh, well, spoiler alert. We'll have to put that in the show notes. Show's like 10 years old, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, she like in real life, the actress who played Lucille Bloom died. And the dad seems like a real life creep too.
Oh my God. I'm like, she died in the show. You're like, yeah, the Big Show.
Yeah.
She died in the Big Show. Wait, before we started recording, mm-hmm.
Have we started?
Yeah.
All right.
Did we start?
Good show.
Okay. I hope we started.
You and me both.
This story you're telling is so riveting about Arrested Development. I wanted to talk.
I got more on that. We'll get back to that. Don't worry.
Guys, stop. We're going to touch on that a little bit later.
Don't go anywhere. Smartless can wait.
But I want to talk about how I just, like, literally just got into Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. Yeah. It's a good show.
I think it's the greatest place for someone like me to hang their blunt hat on. Well, I guess maybe not hang the blunt hat, but take the hat off and put it on your head. But I'm trying to say great to smoke weed and watch Frick and Morty. What's his name?
His name is Rick.
I said Frick. I told you I'm an antibiotic.
I think it's Italian.
Fungal.
Oh, fungal. These antibiotics.
You know
fungal.
You know fungal.
Yeah,
right?
I grew up around you people.
Oh. So I went on you know Ari Manis?
Mm-hmm.
You know Ari Manis?
Mm-mm.
He's a comedian with a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Unlicensed Therapist.
It's a terrific idea.
There's another podcast for you guys. It's called Unlicensed Therapist.
But after that, after you're done listening to that for free.
Okay. So I went on Ari's show a few months back and I said, Fangul. You know, and he's like, what's a Fangul? And we had this like 5-minute conversation. I couldn't even speak because I was laughing so hard because you didn't know what Fangul was. So I was just happy that you just knew what Fangul was.
Not only do I know what Fangul is, I hope I'm saying it incorrectly to your, because I have a real hang up about Northeastern people and the way that they pronounce Italian words.
Oh, which they're very, I am that and I do too.
You're very committed to that pronunciation.
Mozzarella. Calm down, Trish. Yeah. You're in Utica.
Right, exactly.
Let's take a seat, okay? By the way, these Italian people, they pronounce it so incorrectly.
Keep going.
They've never even been to Italy.
No, I know.
They're like mozzarella. My sister, oh my god, we were in an Italian restaurant. Joey's, hey, gabagool.
Yeah.
Supper's that.
No, I've been mutz-splained in restaurants more than once.
I'm sure you haven't. Yeah. It's so infuriating. And as a fellow, well, not fellow, a Sicilian,
yes.
I find it...
As a fellow and a Sicilian.
Extremely infuriating. My brother-in-law ordered, I'm trying to think of the name of the dish now. It was like something that required... the person you're speaking about to say it incorrect, you know, like it's one of those dishes that you go mozzarella to.
Yeah, gabagool.
Gabagool. And so my brother-in-law isn't that person, and so he just said it the way anyone else would say it. Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember the dish, but basically, let's just say it was mozzarella.
Pasta fagioli.
That's what it was.
Yeah. That's one of the bangers.
How did you know?
Fagioli, pronounced fagioli.
Yeah, so... that's exactly what it was. So he says all of the pasta
fagioli is right. Actually the way the Italians. Yeah, right.
And my sister goes, he wants the pasta fagioli. And I go, excuse me, Mrs. Soprano.
Right.
I need you to take a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are at Carrier Circle in upstate New York, right near the thruway. We are not on the Amalfi Coast.
No, you're not.
And they don't even say it.
And that's more to the point is, have I explained to you why we do this? Why that is a thing that
Sopranos.
Happens? Well, but even before that.
No, please mansplain language to me.
It's because, I've this come up so many times because it's such a preoccupation of mine. It's because the Italian immigrants who came to America did say it that way. The Italian language was a bunch of different dialects that got codified into one language.
Did you just codify me?
Codify is actually the way I think
we're
supposed to say
it. 15 minutes in.
So they're not entirely wrong that their grandfather's grandfather's grandfather did say it something like that. They're wrong in not knowing that no one has said it that way in Italy for like 150 years. I've said this so many times on so many podcasts, but if I have anything to give,
you're
the world,
racist.
It is against Northeastern Italians a little bit.
I want a hat that
like
says
"Gabagool" like yourself.
So bad.
I just realized you're in my home, and I'm just like, I'm totally racist toward your kind.
Yeah,
so you were
so
saying
am I.
About the Jews.
So am I.
So
I am.
What
too.
Did your? So what did the taxi driver tell you?
He said,
"We'll do taxi driver
thank
then Rick
you,
and Morty."
Guys, we're touching.
There's
back
any time
on this.
At the end I'll talk a little more Arrested Development. I
we
promise.
We need a fact checker. Oh, The guy said that, you know, if you think about where all the wars have been.
On land.
What about Pearl Harbor?
Shit. Yeah, that was the first bit of land. Shit. Think about it. They hadn't seen a bit of land for 2,000 miles. All of a sudden, they land. Boom. Coincidence.
Also, what about emotional wars?
Often fought at sea.
Ask Natalie Wood.
Oh, my goodness.
But you can't because she's floating like a log.
Yeah. Don't ask Christopher Walken or else he'll be sleeping with her. These are deep cuts.
What am I saying? What am I talking about? Oh, the cab driver.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's 100% wrong. All the places where there have been war.
Yeah.
A bank is established.
Where are banks not established?
Oh, no, I'm talking about like the big bank.
Like Bank of England?
Yes.
Kind of thing? Okay.
And that, so basically wars are fought so that these six rich people can go in and establish the bank and start to have control over all of the money that's being circulated around the world. And that is all pooled and filled back to these six people.
Mm-hmm.
It might be six, seven, or eight, but basically they're a small group of people who are in Europe, who are rich as hell, billionaires, who are running the world, everything that's going on. As far as like the media is concerned, big corporations, big pharma, all of that shit is tied in. I don't think that's a conspiracy. I don't think it's far-fetched to think that there is a smaller group of billionaires that are running all of these systems.
I would literally call that the mother of all conspiracies.
Wow.
I think that is the that is the root.
What do you think's going on then?
I think the world is a big, crazy, chaotic place with a lot of people with no scruples.
It sounds like a Casey Musgraves lyric.
Oh, now what rhymes with scruples?
Pupils.
I know. Not a very country.
Do you know Casey? Wow, your references are good.
She's country, right?
Yeah, she's great.
I think people have a hard time accepting that nobody is at the steering wheel, and they would prefer to believe that there's evil people pulling the strings.
Okay.
So I just read a book about the rise of Hitler and Nazi Germany.
Racist.
It was such a page turner.
Was it a page burner?
Ooh, nice.
You're welcome.
How would that tie into your taxi driver's theory of the world? Because it seemed to me from the book that I read that Germany was kind of itching for a fight themselves.
They were itching for a fight.
So did
But what,
did
what
George,
was established in Germany after?
Was there? Is there a bank?
A big-ass bank.
Okay.
And
are there no big-ass banks in America?
Our big-ass bank is linked back to England, the Bank of England. Google it.
What does linked mean? Like you can,
it's all
you
that
can send,
shit.
You can send a wire transfer?
Yeah, it scooches back there. These are scientific.
The Federal Reserve scooches.
Here's a question.
To George Soros.
Yes. Here's a question.
Is it a yellow taxi? You still taking those for what, nostalgia?
Here's a question.
Miss the smell of vomit?
Of a bonnet. Why can't...
What sort of antibiotics did they give you? And are you aware those are not antibiotics?
I'm not aware. Why?
How dare you? I'm not aware of anything.
Why can't we audit the bank? Why isn't there a system to audit the bank? Don't you think that's strange?
I think the powers that be would say that they're that we have a government of checks and balances, and that indeed it is audited. I'm not there when they do it. I don't know.
Google it. Where's your phone? Put it in the Google.
I'm not going to Google. Do they audit the Federal Reserve?
Because you know they don't.
Because I'm afraid of what Google might tell me. Actually, that's kind of true. I am afraid of what my phone might tell me. Not because I think it's true, but because I'm afraid of everything everyone is telling everybody.
I know, because it's all of it's a lie.
Some of it's true. I told Jesse Ventura that. He was like spouting all kinds of...
Did you just name drop?
I did. Yeah. I don't like to do that.
You looked like you enjoyed it.
Never name drop.
I'm sitting right
never
here.
Never name drop.
Your eyes sparkled.
Nat King Cole
told me
that.
And you got a half judge.
I fucking love that joke.
What did you just say?
I said never name drop. Nat King Cole told me that.
That's so stupid.
It's such an old joke.
You gotta get out of the house. You gotta get away from your kids.
I have been out of the house.
But you were in Hawaii.
It turns out that's not the problem. I need to get away from my children.
Yeah, you can't go out of the house and with your kids.
There were definitely times. Like, I gotta say this low. They're all like a couple feet up above us. We had a wonderful time. We made some memories. I'm not joking about that. But there are times when I legitimately ask myself, would I be happier if I was home alone right now?
Well, that's the grass is greener thing, and which you tap into in my ovaries by sending me photos of your perfect daughter, which I do think is a tactic on your part. It's evil.
Do I have something to gain?
Mm-hmm.
First I get you knocked up.
Fucking up my plan.
Then we funnel it back to England.
That's where all the babies are funneled back to England. You Google it. Everybody listening,
you guys can Google
confirm
it.
Or deny.
You let me know.
Let me know if my conspiracy is wrong. Put it in the comments underneath this post in our Patreon. If you can hear this noise, I'm de-oiling my face. Let us know if you have any information about this. Obviously, I can Google, but I'm way busy. So if you guys could Google it.
Kind of in the middle of a podcast over here. So.
I'm in the middle of a podcast, so I want to know what you guys think.
You look really nice today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm aware you did not do this for me.
No, I did. I did this.
Or for us.
What did I... Listen, I knew I had Corolla.
Yeah.
Name drop. Mm-hmm. Or real name drop. Just Ventura, who's that?
Take your Nat King Cole. And...
No, I planned it this way so I could also show up and look nice for our podcast.
It's really, really nice of you, but I think we all know. You took the nice shoes off. You took off...
Well, because you can't... See now?
You took off the fuck me pumps.
They can't see.
And you put on the... Well, neither could anybody at Corolla, but you took off the fucking
pumps. No, they could.
And put on the Where's My Seltzer Crocs.
You're in a free t-shirt you won off of a radio.
Are you kidding
raffle.
Me? I love this shirt, and nobody likes
you're
it but me.
You're in a free Champions. What is this band? It looks like a
It's not a band.
What is it?
It's clearly a sports.
Oh, is it? Because it looks like the COVID. It looks like the COVID disease right there.
Does COVID have a logo?
Did you get this after you got vaccinated?
I got kiss me, I'm vaccinated. I got this Washington Generals. People already, some of them are getting the reference. I got this Washington Generals t-shirt. The only one they were selling at the merch stand at the Harlem Globetrotters game.
In the airport.
The Harlem Globetrotters.
You spilled coffee on a shirt and you stole that from an airport Hudson News.
This is the team. This is the team that loses to the Harlem Globetrotters every night.
Oh, okay. I knew there was some nerd shit going on.
Deep nerd shit.
That's a real deep cut. My dad actually took me to see the Harlem Globetrotters when I was a little kid, and I was like totally enthralled.
It's fun when you're real little. I can't tell if it's gotten worse or if kids just have worse taste than I realized at the time when I was one, because it felt pretty slapdash and half-assed when I took the kids.
Well, I mean, look at Blippi. That guy is a multi-millionaire now. And he's like, those are the noises I hear.
Yeah. I respect Blippi because I see through Blippi.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I don't not respect him. I'm just saying it's a little, you know, it's kid humor.
I respect any child's entertainer who's in it strictly for the money. I'm very suspicious of the ones who do it because they like children and like making children happy.
Excuse me, Mr. Rogers.
He's all right. Blippi, to me, is a guy who very obviously, and I know this kind of for a fact, tried a couple of more conventional, like, YouTube. Like,
He tried stand-up comedy for a week and then said, fuck it, because he wasn't...
And there's a video where he,
wasn't
like,
happening.
He shit on his friend or his friend shit on him. That's real. Like, you can totally find it. Yeah. I think there's actually a decent, like, Will Ferrell or Seth Rogen type movie to be made about somebody who does what I think Blippi did, which is they're not going anywhere in their entertainment career, and then they're... sister has a kid and they see what their kid is watching on YouTube and they go, I could do that. And
then all of a sudden,
and I believe that's Blippi's story.
I could see that being a thing. And they already made the movie. It's called Welcome to the Neighborhood or whatever that movie was with Tom Hanks playing
Mr. Rogers.
I honestly, with all this cancellations happening, I was really concerned we were going to lose Mr. Rogers in the mix, even though it would be a posthumous account.
Okay, you comic types really love this cancel culture thing, so let's do this.
I just was so worried he was going to get canceled.
Why would he have been
canceled? I don't know.
Because who else got canceled? Are you going to say Dr. Seuss?
No, Dr. Seuss didn't cancel. They preemptively did it.
What do you mean?
They took away stuff.
The Dr. Seuss estate said that they were never going to... They were going to stop printing a select number of
his
titles.
So they didn't get canceled, but why did they do that?
because it was really inappropriate, because they literally had like people like
Asian drawn.
Yeah, and like savage, like Ooga Booga type people. And the Dr. Seuss family was like, literally no one's ever heard of these books anyway, because it was not Green Eggs and Ham, and it wasn't The Cat in the Hat. It was shit. But shit, I've read so much. There are so many Dr. Seuss books I felt like I had never heard of that I have received as gifts and read to my kids over and over. And the ones that they stopped printing are ones I've never heard of. And they actually were really, really inappropriate. So
do you think things should be canceled then? Don't you think, where does it end? I feel like it's the same thing with what's going on now. Where's the end? When are people going to be happy?
Right, and that's the question, is the internet only knows one form of justice, and that's total cancellation. And we are going to need to figure out a way to rehabilitate people, to learn to accept their apology, and figure out what sort of timeout they deserve.
Heck yeah, because if murderers can get off in a 20-year sentence... Mm-hmm. I don't think that people should just be completely exonerated.
Or, I agree with
that. Should not be exonerated.
But being able to entertain to me is a privilege, not a right. Like, I think the barrier to, if you, let's just say a football player goes to a hometown buffet and everyone in the hometown buffet gets violently murdered, and the only person who doesn't get killed that night is that football player, but they can't prove that that person did it. And then they go to like three more towns, and three more hometown buffets get completely slaughtered. Everyone endured, and they go, we cannot fucking pin it on this guy. Everybody knows he's the hometown buffet massacrer.
It sounds like it's food poisoning.
But we can't pin it. No, it's like violent, like throat slashing and shit like that. I think at a certain point, the league is allowed to say, you are no longer to play football. Allowed to play football. We know that you're the guy who kills everybody at hometown buffet, and we don't need to have you here. You are free. You are a free citizen. You can pursue your life's ambitions, murder and otherwise, elsewhere, but you can't do it here anymore.
I get that, but are you...
It's like the Michael Vick thing.
So are you saying...
That's, which is probably a way better example than the one I used.
I guess because I make a living and I connect with people, and you do too, mm-hmm. with words.
Yeah.
I think that there is there's a conflict of interest when you say it's a privilege, not a right, because within our careers, we are protected by a right.
Yes, the right to free speech, right?
Yeah. Right, the First Amendment. So it gets sticky when we go, well, we can say that, but you can't say this. You can say this, but you can't say that.
Well, no, because your constitutional right to free speech is guaranteed that you are allowed to say that and not be imprisoned for saying that.
Well, we'll define imprisonment, because right now, I think even just the word war is different now. And that's something that, like, Giannis Pappas was talking to me about, like how we're kind of in a war now. So words are sort of evolving. Mm-hmm. Imprisonment can mean different things. Maybe not like being thrown behind jail, but yeah. I don't know, losing everything sounds like a form of punishment.
If you are entitled to, I'll say this, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you could easily be said to have lost, like Louis C.K. may have lost his right to his pursuit of happiness because of things that were not judged to be criminal by any judge or jury.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it wasn't the state, it wasn't the government that was doing that to him. And that's the big distinction that I feel like a lot of comedians conveniently overlook. I'm not saying the current situation is cool or desirable and isn't in need of some serious fucking help, but until the government starts locking people up because they make bad jokes at a comedy club, nobody needs to be invoking First Amendment rights.
Yeah, I get that. I think you have a good point there. But I also see what's going on and how we're allowing, I guess, people behind their computer screens to become the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor, and the defending lawyer all in one. Mm-hmm. And there's no accountability. There's no both sides to the story. That's gone out. That feels to me like that has not completely gone out the window, but it's definitely more thrown to the wayside. Like having a full approach to a situation, looking at it from all angles, that's not so much the status quo anymore.
No, people think Twitter only has, what, 280 characters now? But it turns out that's kind of perfect, because the vast majority of people can't think in greater than 280 word statements anyway.
Yeah.
It's easy to blame the medium, but it's not as if Twitter allowed for people to write 10 paragraphs at a time, it would still be the one sentence people killing each other.
Yeah. It's just, I guess it's that sort of thing where, you know, hindsight really is is the winner. It's, hindsight is the thing that sort of reveals what we're doing wrong. We don't know it when we're doing it. So we might not even in our lifetime see the ramifications of what's going on now. But I think of something like the R. Kelly case. Mm-hmm. Like, take that for instance. Is it take that for instant or for instance?
Instance.
Right?
I said that is one instance of a larger...
Thank you. Mm-hmm. He's being... I think he obviously is guilty and has done some terrible things.
Well, Bill Cosby disagrees.
Of course, because they're, you know, birds of a feather.
Yeah.
Fuck together.
Bosom buddies.
Oof, those two. I mean, the music and the entertainment catalog between those two... That permeates decades.
Ours got some jams. Nobody's debating that.
But I think what's lacking in these cases, and maybe it's going to come up because I think his trial has yet to even really get into the nitty gritty because he just had a new defense attorney hired.
He's going to appeal. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to appeal. And what about his camp? Same thing with Harvey Weinstein. Same thing with, you know, the crash in 2008. It's not just one bank that caused that. It's not just Harvey Weinstein that was the one that was allowing those things to go on. And it certainly wasn't just R. Kelly. Sure, they were all the main perpetrators, but there was a group of people surrounding them contributing to the demise.
Are you saying that there were other people? Because I believe that there are other studio heads who over the years have abused their power like Harvey Weinstein did. There's definitely the bank thing is blatantly obvious. I forget the guy. He may have been the CEO of Citibank, sort of said something like, as long as the music is still playing, you need to keep dancing.
Yeah.
Which is to say they all saw the writing on the wall.
They all knew and they didn't. And they bailed each other out. And the banks, everybody was, you know, there wasn't, what I'm saying is.
But are you saying that are you talking about there's other R. Kellys that are as bad as him? Or are you talking about the people who worked with and for him, who enabled him?
Okay. His camp.
Yeah.
That a beast is fed. People were feeding him, proverbially.
But he was also feeding them.
He was feeding them, but they were keeping quiet.
Yeah.
They were keeping him healthy enough to have enough energy to be the monster that he was.
Yeah. But show me a rich criminal who can't surround themselves with...
Yes, men.
Suck-ups, yeah.
Yeah, and, right. And I just think that those people are just going to scatter like fucking roaches back into society. Oh, they're just going to change and become good people? Mm-hmm. Bullshit. They're going to go infect... however they're living their lives into a different industry or maybe the same industry. Who knows? The point is that those people have shown that they're capable of keeping their mouth shut if they're getting fed.
Yeah.
And to me, that's criminal too. It's accomplice.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, I'm off the top of my head. I can't think of charges, but yeah, I mean, to know that somebody is aiding and abetting a crime is a crime in and of itself.
And as a woman reading through the, there was an interview of his new defense attorney, which is something I'm going to get into on a whole other episode. She made a statement about the compliance of these girls. These girls were like 13 years old. I was a 13-year-old. You are compliant because of how society has raised you, because of how you've been raised, because of things you've heard and external talk that makes you think a certain way about yourself.
Yeah, and because he is fucking R. Kelly.
He's sure. R. Kelly. Powerful people can be persuasive, and you mix that with a young girl, of course she's going to be compliant. That doesn't mean her compliance means that she wanted or deserved what happened to her.
No, of course, that's asinine. Right?
It's right, and just to have that be a conversation in this whole case really infuriates me, because I look at a woman, and I've thought this about defense attorneys. You must have a certain level of competitiveness in you to want to defend somebody like that.
Yeah.
You must be really addicted to the law.
Well, do you know what? I talked to a defense attorney one time who I want to say she did like murder trials or something like
that.
Wow. And I asked her how she could do it. And I'm going to put a couple of words in her mouth. I think she didn't care. I think she was kind of like, well, if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. But when I try to like pin her down on how can you like sleep at night doing this, otherwise a really, really nice person, had a nice family, she said her understanding of the law system from having seen it up close is that it's so fucked up that justice is justice is not the aim or the end result very often in the justice system. It's just this bad system where you're playing by your crooked way and I'm going to play by my crooked way. And it wouldn't be fair to somebody who was guilty to play by. If you believe that everybody is entitled to proper representation, then you are basically entitled in her mind to like crooked representation. Because the state is going to be doing crooked shit to try to take you down too.
And there's the sad thing is that there's logic in that.
It made sense to me.
Because
yeah.
The system is
and
broken.
She knew better. I defer to expertise. You know, she knew what she was talking about better than I do. Everybody on fucking line's got to figure out that every time you argue about everything, taxi driver or whoever,
he was telling the truth. It was facts.
It may have been his truth. He may believe it to be true. He may have lots of compelling evidence. And I'm not saying none of us should have opinions, but you need to be humble about your opinion that if you're not in the room where these pizza bloodthirsty pedophile decisions are being made, hanging out with the movers and shakers, you don't know what you're fucking talking about.
I totally agree, and that's kind of how I approach scenarios as well. I just like to
get
into stuff.
It's fun. And I learned a lot from, I would see sometimes listener speculation about dynamics of stuff on the Jason Ellis show. And I thought it was fun because sometimes they were right. Sometimes they totally had it figured out. Somebody was arguing with so-and-so. But a lot of times it was more like they were dead wrong. And I go, oh, but I see how they got there. Yeah, they did that and they did that. And they don't know about this and they misinterpreted that. And they put together a very compelling case that is dead fucking wrong.
It is
fun. And it was a learning experience.
It's fun to conspire.
Of course it is, yeah.
It makes whatever is going on a little bit less brutal. And the systems are broken. And I think the reality of what's happening is we're going to cave in on ourselves. That's just the only way humanity... That's the only direction humanity is headed. And I don't think it's a bad thing.
A reckoning? A purge?
Not so much a reckoning, but maybe an internal purge. Because each individual...
A purge of the soul.
A purge of the soul.
Yeah.
But in a destructive way. I think our own hands are the actual weapons of what's causing everything.
We need to violently purge ourselves.
Yes, that's basically what I'm saying. Okay. Not that we need to, we are going to. We already are.
Yeah, maybe. 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 Things have been weird and crazy before. I think this is a high watermark of crazy in American society, but I'm not sure it is the high watermark.
No, I would have to say probably any time around the Gladiator, the whole Gladiator
not,
world.
Not technically American.
No, but I just mean in the world. Oh, yeah. Humanity. That was pretty wild. That was pretty crazy.
If you extend to all of humankind, then things are very, very... Then we live in... a very, very peaceful and very, very functional democracy.
What was the craziest? What was the most? Are we in the most destructive time?
No, hell no. Are you kidding me? We live in the longest protracted era of global peace that mankind has ever known.
Oh, the big nap. Oh, bro, it's been the big nap. We've been chilling. Everything's been great, bro. Super, super, super slack.
Just saying, we haven't sent teenagers to foreign countries to murder each other en masse for almost 100 years. Like, I'm going to get a little pat on the back.
Yeah, I think that's
right
pretty
there.
Dope.
Yeah.
But again, back to my conversation about the evolution of words and their meaning, like imprisonment and war.
Right.
To Giannis Pappas's point. He was saying there is a war happening right now. It's just more of a silent war. It's a war that's happening on an economic level. It's a war that's happening on a political level. Because of mutual assured destruction, we can't have those wars anymore because everyone pretty much has nukes now.
Yes.
So the traditional idea of a war is kind of passé now. We have to get a little bit more creative and a little bit more infiltrated in a technological way, in a political way.
Yes.
In a biochemical way.
The way that you raised your eyebrow when you said that led me to believe that your taxi driver also had some things to say about biochemistry.
No, this is before COVID.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is way before COVID. I don't think, you know, we look at the history of humanity and how brutal we've been and the fact that there were cannibalistic tribes and just brutal genocide and all these things, Hitler things that have existed. Would it be so crazy to think that some of these conspiracies are real? That's the thing that
no,
throws
of course not.
Me out. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's crazy? Think about what Hitler accomplished. That's crazy.
Yes.
that's insanity. And I would even go out as far to say that because of the lack of technology and the way people had to, you know, get information, a Paul Revere style back in the day, there are people who probably thought that didn't even fucking, that's not going on right now. There are probably people who really, as that was happening.
The Holocaust.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who weren't directly.
There are still people who say it never happened. And yeah.
Exactly. Which is just so, so.
People didn't know, I don't believe, that it was happening during the war, by the way. I don't think the average American knew about it.
Well, how could we?
Yeah, exactly. It was the kind of thing they were trying to keep secret.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Anything is possible. But I do think more often than not, the answers to things are mundane, boring shit. It's very hard to keep a conspiracy beyond a small number of people.
It is. And I think here's a question for the room.
Yeah.
For the fans.
Sure.
What do you guys think is a conspiracy that's real? Out of all the conspiracies.
Yeah, somebody asked me this the other day and I couldn't come up with a good one.
I'm not even sure about aliens anymore. That's how sad. That's how sad shit's gotten.
What did you used to be sure of that you're no longer sure?
That there were aliens.
Now you are no longer believe that there are aliens.
I mean, we've seen a bunch of lights in the sky, but I've seen those on shrooms.
Yeah,
I want to believe.
I just read an article about that. It kind of seems like the least bad scenario. Yeah, that chair is unforgiving. If you go down, you might never come back up.
I almost fell. I just had to get my poison ring that I got here. What are you saying?
Well, just like if it's not aliens that people are seeing strange tic tacs that go faster than the speed of sound but don't make a sonic boom, well then you have to believe that our adversaries, evildoers, have some technology that we are never going to catch up with.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I've seen things that I can't explain.
You have seen UFOs.
I saw something in New York City that made major news. You can Google it now. I've talked about it on podcasts where when this conversation comes up. I was walking down a busy street in New York, and you know how New Yorkers are all in their own world. Mm-hmm. Nobody's like focused on the same thing. And I was at the street corner and looking to cross the street is a red light. And everybody on the opposite street, including the street I was on, was looking up. And so I looked up and there was a very shiny chrome tampon shaped thing above, way up, but close enough for it to feel ominous.
Yeah.
Suspended. Not moving, not making any sound, just kind of hanging there. And we all were just also suspended in the moment, like, what is that?
String? No string.
You always tuck the string up. You don't want the string dangling because it can come outside of your bathing suit, your thong, your skirt. And you don't want someone to pull that and then you sound like a rag doll.
Right. So an applicator.
So it looked like
Let me explain tampons to you.
So far, why is this? So far, I've been mansplained so many things. Can I hold this?
I'll fix it.
Oh, fix my mic. Jesus. And your butt is right in the camera, Mike.
What the fuck else is it supposed to
be? I call you Tully. It felt so wrong to call you Mike. It felt like really, really wrong. Yeah, that's better. Thank you so much. I got down to the bar where I was working, and it was on the news.
Yeah. I vaguely recall. When was this? I must have already been living out here.
This was probably 2010.
Okay, yeah, so I was out here.
So I don't know what that was. I'll never know what that thing was. And maybe it's our own domestic aviation just testing shit out.
It's an odd place to do it. There's places you don't test stuff out over a major city.
So do you think that there's... I know this is like the... If you were to Google podcast topics,
that I'm going to say yes, that aliens are real?
Yeah, I'm afraid because if you do, nothing makes sense to me anymore. Because if you believe in aliens, totally, right. I'll probably walk into the ocean. I need you to not believe in aliens.
Get your aqua socks on. Because yeah, based
you to
on
remain as autistic as you can.
Based on the... So there's only three explanations.
For my tampon thing?
I'll give you maybe a fourth. For just UFOs in general. Okay. One is that everybody's imagining things. Weather balloons, swamp gas.
What did you call me?
I told you to never repeat my high school yearbook nickname.
I told you to not call me what they used to call me in the hallways of Henniger High School ever again.
So is it everybody's just imagining something? No, I don't think that that is the case. Is it that other countries have this absurdly advanced technology that somehow, even though we're all spying on each other, we have no idea about, and Russia and China just show these things off down by San Diego? That's the scariest scenario. Again, I think that's unlikely. So then we're left with these are, and the government now does call them, I forget what they don't call them UFOs. They have
no, you can't call them UFOs anymore. You can't call them UFOs anymore because it's not considered.
Is it a UAF?
It's
an unidentified.
It's an LGBTQI UFO.
You comedians really got to kind of, you can't use that word anymore. I think it's unidentified aerial phenomenon, which would be a UAP.
It should be an unidentified aerial tampon looking motherfucker.
The one that
T-L-M.
You saw.
TLM.
But then sometimes there's unidentified Tic Tacs and there's unidentified.
It looked like it was the shape of a Tic Tac.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what it was the shape of.
Oh, so you saw the Tic Tac as well. That's kind of the most famous one. And the government is openly saying they don't know what it is. So this is.
It would be funny if everyone screamed at it like the way everyone screams at BTS or like the Beatles from back in the day or any boy band where it's just a bunch of people that are like, oh my God, I'm such a big fan.
Show like when Death Clock shows up. Did you do Death Clock? Death Clock. Speaking of
Death Clock, Metalocalypse. Now we're getting
speaking
into your hobbies.
Speaking of Adult Swim.
No, I don't know what the fuck.
We'll talk about Rick and Morty in a second.
We're never going to get back to Rick and Morty.
I think we might. I think we
this
might.
This microphone's sad.
But the only conspiracy theory that for me is, like, I'm definitely open to the possibilities in regard to JFK.
Like, what possibilities? That he's an alien?
That the official government explanation for how he was killed, there's more to the story than that.
What's that? What's the latest?
Well, the official one is still just Lee Harvey Oswald, right?
And there's no way. There is no way that guy
right.
did it.
Right, exactly. Although it is odd, and I don't know anything about JFK, but or the whole conspiracy. I never saw the movie or anything. But that guy did kill a guy on his way, like trying to escape from the scene of the death of JFK. So he was very capable of murder. They picked a pretty good stooge.
Yeah, they picked a great stooge, which I would expect nothing
less
from
of
the
mafia and the CIA.
Mafia.
So my favorite conspiracy...
That's right, because he fucked everything up with Cuba and everything. Fucked it all up.
Right.
Fucked up the flow.
So my favorite conspiracy theory is that aliens are actually time-traveling humans from the future.
Oh, I like that.
Who just come back to... They're like scientists. They come back to see what's going on here, and that
but
would
if they're from the future, wouldn't they already know?
Well, but it's like a historical expedition.
Where would you go if you could have an historical expedition anywhere in the history?
Yeah, I've actually talked about this on a podcast somewhat recently too. I was raised in a very 20th century Eurocentric kind of world, and
seeing
like the Versailles, the Louis the 14th stuff would be very.
Oh God, you're such a nerd.
Would be very interesting to me.
Not dinosaurs? Are you fucking crazy?
But right. You have to go to the furthest extreme from our current reality
to see shit
that... Right. So, I don't know, like the dawn of life on planet Earth is probably a little bit more... You can go to Versailles and be like, oh, look at that. That was a pillow.
I want Jurassic Park. By the way, there's a lot of dudes rolling around on the west side of Los Angeles that look like they would spare at no expense. Lot of fucking wool hats with feathers and canes, and they all look like they run dinosaur parks.
You see a lot of men who look like eccentric billionaires that are interested in reviving dinosaur species out of amber?
Yes, and I had a...
I feel like you and I run in different circles. You're not talking
you
about...
You run in a square,
you're not
buddy.
Talking about Adam Carolla, are you?
No. Adam's such a blue-collar dude.
Yeah.
Blue-collar dude. No, I'm talking about guys that are in Los Angeles. They smell like on the west side. It's on the west side. I almost choked on my spit. They're on the west side and they smell like oils, and they're in there's a lot of like linen and cream fabrics and a lot of beaded bracelets. There's beaded bracelets and also bracelets that they definitely made at home.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of sage.
Oh, okay. I know what you're
there's
talking
a green,
about. Like rich hippies.
Richies.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of richies out there.
It's so odd to me how something has changed in our world that's kind of under remarked upon. When people got rich, it used to be really easy to explain how they got rich. Like, look at that man in fancy spats and top hats. Go, well, that guy opened one car dealership and then he opened another. And now he, you can't buy a Chevrolet in Michigan without buying it from Dick Wilson.
Good old Dickie Will.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a guy who does it on TikTok. He goes up and he's like, finds expensive cars, very opulent items, and asks a person, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
So it's a good, it's exactly what's happening.
And they're just all of these, it goes from the very top of the modern faces of wealth with, you know, apps where people have made, you know, used to be you made your money by mining coal. Obviously not not personally, but you would.
Hey kids. Mike Tully's talking about mining coal.
Like, I think Carnegie, it was coal money.
Yeah, all those Roger Barons back in the day.
Robber Barons?
Roger Barons. No, their names were Roger Baron. Robber Barons, yes, thank you. They had like one industry that ruled.
And right. And so rich. And Henry Ford sold a bunch of cars.
Yeah.
And now there's the people at the top who they make an app and they make $1 billion. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have this disparity of wealth between super rich people and not super rich people. It's because when Henry Ford wanted to make cars, he had to take a whole city of people and give them a job to make the fucking cars.
Yeah, he needed all people to be blue collar back-breaking workers,
but they could still get a mortgage, and maybe they could even afford to get like a boat or something like that, and they could
also foreclose,
and they could put their kids through college. And nowadays, who invented Bird scooters just needed to buy 200,000 scooters, and he didn't need a workforce.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that guy gets billions of dollars, and there aren't a bunch of people who become thousandaires because they go to work at the Bird factory, BYRD, so to speak. But then there's the other guys that you're talking about. So on this person's TikTok that you just mentioned, what sorts of answers do those people give?
A lot of technical, you know, in like real estate, in the tech world, also in this cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So doctors.
Okay, well, doctors would be an exception to what I'm about to say, but it used to be hard to make money without contributing. I don't want to say contributing to society, because obviously it can be
creating a tangible product
that other people benefit from, mm-hmm. right? And you talk like crypto, Wall Street, law. These are all things people can get into and make tons and tons of money without actually making anything that any of us
are using
or want. It's a weird late stage capitalism thing that we're living in.
You know the loophole to that?
What's that?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Amazon.
I probably have a package waiting on. It's pretty big. It's pretty big. I'm thinking about investing in those guys. You heard it here first. Smartless going to give you stock tips.
You guys should definitely, like his parents, toss in 250 G's mm-hmm. into Amazon. I think it's going to be big.
It's got a chance.
I've got to stop.
We've discussed this before. I've been at your house when...
Rude.
Four people. Sometimes even when you're there.
Always.
Three, four deliveries at a time.
My sister and I have coined it grief shopping.
It's so bad when you go, I feel bad about what I'm doing to the world economy. Let me go buy something at Target instead.
That's such a solid point. We've removed ourselves on a commercial level too far from the mom and pop shops.
Yeah.
And convenience really is a killer. And mm-hmm. I've said it before. I really think that we're headed towards a Wall-E existence. We already are in a Wall-E existence where
I'll tell you what, towards that point, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people at Disneyland who don't need the scooter.
Oh, no, they
just
don't need it.
Hold on a second.
If I don't have to walk.
Right. Look at me. It's pretty obvious I don't care what I look like.
And if I can get to the front of the line at the hot dog stand, why would I walk?
No, there's definitely people who just prefer to ride the scooter all day. And it becomes this perpetuating, self-fulfilling cycle where I let myself get bigger than a person really ought to be. So it's easier for me to ride the scooter around and eat funnel cake while I'm on the scooter, which means I'm not getting any exercise, which means I'm going to get even bigger, et cetera, thereby becoming cyborgs, the union of man and scooter.
Mooters.
Yeah, sure.
Why can't it be women? Womooters.
There's some big ladies on scooters at Disneyland too. You feel better?
Excuse me. And now I do. Yeah, I
did you burp at Corollas?
No.
I bet you didn't. So Rick and Morty's a very, very good
I can't
show.
Believe you threw me under, you threw my shoes under the bus.
It was very noticeable.
Why did you, they don't, you they showed don't up, they're not you seeing the shoes.
You pulled up outside of the house and I was like, wow, this is the best I've ever seen you look. You are glowing right now. And I know that that's because you probably spent a little extra time on makeup, and why not? You're going to fucking Adam Carolla show, but you just look great. And then you
actually, I'm cleaning out my gut bacteria. So thank you.
And it shows. It shows.
My flora and fauna is currently getting balanced right now, and it is a talk about war.
Oh yeah, yeah, no.
There's a war being raged inside of me.
Probiotics are definitely real and definitely very, very effective.
And I forgot,
make a huge difference.
Yes, yeah. I forgot I was not taking them for a hot minute, and
oh boy,
man, did I pay for that?
Oh yeah,
in a very.
Yeah, I think we. Yeah, I think we get you.
Okay.
Yeah,
I really just
you pulled up and you looked so great.
And, oh, so flip flops ruined it for you?
And then you opened the door and like, wow, what a smart, tasteful outfit she's got on.
And then what?
And then I saw like I saw a foot come out and I'm like, wow, and shoes too. And then just as my eye was like, okay, what kind of shoe is she wearing? The fucking
if you're on the Patreon,
the hospital shoes plopped on the ground next to them, and I was like, oh, that's what I get.
Well, you know what you should say to yourself?
What's that?
Is that I feel comfortable enough being myself around you. You're welcome, you fuck.
You tell that to boyfriends too?
No, I don't. I make them wonder all the time. That's how you keep them, even though I'm single. Keep them on their toes. Just so, I won't keep my heels on my toes.
Briefly, how was Alaska?
It was really beautiful.
Had you been before?
I had not been before. I highly recommend it. Here's the thing about Alaska. It's the Vegas of the nature world.
Vegas, okay.
You go to Vegas, you think about Vegas, you're like, God, I'd really like to go to Vegas. You've never been to Vegas, you're like, I want to go. The lights, the glamour, the gambling, it's just so, you know, luxurious and can play slots, blah, 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 blah. It's very appealing. And you get to Vegas and you're like, oh, Vegas is great. This is a lot of fun. And then the next day you're like, I don't know how many more days in Vegas I can stand. I did not feel that in Alaska, and I feel that a lot with travel. But after a few days of talking to the people who live there, they're like, don't move here. Please don't move to Alaska, because this is it. This is all, yeah, you get these beautiful sprawling vistas. Mm-hmm. The sky is clear. The water's clear. The air's clear. They're yearning for Vegas the way people who live in Vegas and in civilizations like we live in, all these people, it's so populated, think about going to a nature-y location.
Grass is
literally greener in Alaska.
Right, right.
But
there might be a reason you're saying why they literally pay people to live there.
But then I thought maybe they're just doing that as a reverse psychology, and they don't want fuckers to move in. They don't want it to turn into like Austin.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
It makes their rent more expensive. I get it. So I think they were fucking with me. They're like, nah, it's not that great. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool. But I'm going to buy a house.
Are you thinking of?
No.
I think there's plenty of space up there.
I would go to Colorado before I went to Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Colorado is kind of the place I've settled on, is if I had to live in a not metropolitan. I'm a city boy.
I'm a city girl too, but I'm also a half hippie. I'm a Richie.
Yeah.
So I want to go and be in nature. I love nature. It's where I honestly feel my most self, closest to myself. But Alaska was great. You know, the air was just so, so fresh. It was so crisp.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear that. You can just pull a salmon right out of the
river. Alaskan river. We had salmon every single day.
Just to take a bite of
let me guess, it's fucking salmon.
Still wriggling steelhead.
It was a lot of fun. And the guy who booked the show was really... He took us on tours, and we went on a glacier tour.
Oh, you've been on a glacier?
I've never been on one.
But no,
an emotional glacier.
Right, yeah.
I didn't get to go on. You don't get to go on the glacier.
You just go past them?
This isn't like a zoo where they put a fucking saddle on an elephant.
Okay.
You know, you get to ride an elephant?
Yeah.
This thing that's beautiful, natural,
yeah, this wild
phenomenon,
untamed,
this beautiful
frozen block
thing, and you're like, did you get on the glacier?
I
didn't get on the glacier.
People do take, I think, helicopter rides onto glaciers.
Do they?
I think so.
That's just
I heard
a
one
lot.
Time that you could. It's so cold. This doesn't make any sense that it's so cold that you could like block. You could take a chip off of it, and you could like bring it home, and it wouldn't even melt right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, that's
true. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. How can something be so frozen?
Because ice is the way the glaciers are formed, the ice is so compact that its freezing rate is different than regular ice on top. So when ice, that's how it's formed. So the snow keeps going down, 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 compacting itself and forming it into a very condensed piece of ice.
Yeah.
That's science. You're welcome, folks. That was right from Bill Nye, Science Guy's mouth, to your ears through my mouth.
You sounded like you knew what you were talking about.
But they do chip the ice off of the glaciers in the water. That's where they are. And also in the mountains. And they put it in your drinks. They bring it back onto the boat. So I literally had glacial water. Maybe that's what fucked up my gut bacteria.
Yeah.
But
maybe
did you know
that you stopped getting probiotics at Target?
I have to stop getting my I do have to stop doing that. And I also have to stop just taking drinks that people hand to me. Did you know that valleys are created by glacier movement?
Kind of, right?
Like, peaks and valleys are created by the movement of glaciers in
some
the
of them,
wild.
Some of them, for sure, yeah, because you have like the big thing of land and then the icer. You can usually see the glass had the glacier had scraped through it at some point.
That's exactly what it does.
Yeah.
It kind of just moves back and forth. And right now we're in a glacial recession, which is obviously what's going on because, you know, we've been yelled at and screamed at by Greta Thunberg. If Greta Thunberg's screaming at you, you're in a glacial recession.
Yeah, that's what that means.
And so it goes back in.
She's like the groundhog
of glaciers. Of global warming. So a glacier kind of seesaws into the earth.
Right, okay.
And it cuts into the mountain. Mm-hmm. And it creates all those like vast valleys and peaks. I thought that was so interesting. I didn't know that because of, at one point, it was all covered in ice, and then
ice, there was an ice. There have been multiple ice ages.
Yes, and we're probably never going to see one again.
Except
if it were in the movie theater, which we probably won't see because it'll be burned, completely combusted because we've.
They are probably making another Ice Age movie as we speak, and
great.
You will never see it, but
you guys won't either because we'll be dead by the time it's done.
Yeah,
but I just rewatched Ice Age a couple weeks ago.
Really,
still holds up.
Ray Romano,
great movie.
Johnny
I cried,
Legs.
I laughed, and what's his name? Dennis Leary. Plays the antagonist, I would say.
Keep getting them checks, Dennis Leary.
We covered a lot today. We covered genocide, apparently there was a Holocaust. We covered UFOs, allegedly. And we also never got back to my Rick and Morty story.
It's a good show, and
I started watching it.
I think most of us who have been watching it from the beginning would agree it's not quite as great now as it once was.
Okay,
but then again, what is? But I'm
what
also
is?
Some people. There's like a backlash to people. I think put the earlier seasons on such a pedestal that now they feel the need to shit on the new ones.
Oh God,
I find the newer stuff personally as somebody who doesn't participate in that conversation. I don't care what Reddit has to say about the new Rick and Morty. I just watch it, even if it's terrible. It's still better than most of the shit on TV.
It's one of the greatest written shows.
They still have their moments where it's not so much this season. The one before it, there was an episode that I was like kind of like found literally jaw dropping.
I think that we all need perspective. Things can't be great forever. We need them to dip so that we can be appreciative when they are.
Yeah.
When they come back. There's a spider crawling on your floor, and it's very small, but it is coming at me at an aggressive rate.
Oh, I see that. Oh, that's nothing compared to the evils and dangers that lurk and have lurked in this room. Fun fact, last time you were down, you've been here twice, I think only one other time. Last time you were here, you may have noticed that there was like a black smudge on the wall over
what was
here.
That?
Can I tell you how dumb I am? Can I tell you how dumb I am?
Yeah.
I had been keeping...
It sounds like someone an early morning radio show host says, let me tell you how dumb I am.
I don't know where it is now. There was a television that was up against it, and I thought the TV had left a mark. I was like, oh, look at that. I didn't know that could happen. The black TV left a mark. No, that was the black mold seeping out of the wall.
My jaw is dropped. Did you cause my gut rot from this moldy ass...
It's possible.
Studio?
It has the good, maybe that would be the bad news.
You better not pay mortgage or rent.
The good news is it has, but I caused it. It was my own fault. That's the thing with, I own, yeah.
I don't know how this podcast is going to work out if you cause black mold. Hey guys, this is our fifth and final episode of, this is a swapcast.
Yeah.
This is a swapcast.
I both cause and remediate mold at great expense to myself, but I get top of the line guys and then I insist that they rip me off. So.
No wonder I feel so headachy when I leave you.
Yeah.
You've infiltrated
my mind. And here you were thinking it was just me.
Yeah.
So this is the official notice to the world that we will now be doing a podcast together each and every week.
And you guys asked and we answered.
It'll be just as delightful as this, if not more. So the first few ones that we've done, I almost got it out, have been very, very funny. I had to re-listen to a couple of them.
They are. We are funny. Yeah. It's me explaining the life to Mike Teller, really. It's me just teaching him things.
Right. I think the first episode is where you found out that Paris Hilton made a sex tape.
So, I can't believe that.
Thank you.
You teach me really the important stuff. And I just taught you that the Holocaust was a hoax. For anybody listening, this is we're having fun. I know the Holocaust was real. Allegedly.
Talk a lot of bullshit about glaciers, though.
Yeah, we talked a lot of bullshit about glaciers. We are very excited about this podcast. Mm-hmm. It has been months in the making, if not over a year, because of conceptually thinking about it, which is double negative, whatever. My brain is firing. I think we're shutting off.
So everybody, go. Once you're done with Smartless,
you're done too.
Head immediately to
once you're done with Smartless. Come over here.
Patreon.com/TheDeucePodcast. The Deuce.
Thanks for listening to Sharp Tongue.
And the Tully Show.
And we're combining. You're welcome.